Thus far, presenters have shared approaches, experiences, or philosophies related to communicating science. So now we're going to hear from Emily Johnson about a video produced by the Anoka County Water Resource Outreach Collaborative. I'm sure that has an acronym, I'm sure. As, oh. So one thing I noted is as presenters submitted their titles, I noted that two of the titles included the word visible and invisible. And this gets back to what Kelton talked about at the beginning and what Jim brought up in his presentation. I think the repetition of these words in a variety of talks really highlights the problem that we're facing. So Emily is the Outreach and Engagement Coordinator with the Anoka Soil and Water Conservation District, and she facilitates the Anoka County Water Resource Outreach Collaborative. She holds a BA in Biology and Geology from McAllister and a certificate in Environmental Education from Hamline University. So Emily.
Hello, can everyone hear me here? Perfect. So I already was introduced, so I won't introduce myself again. I apologize, this presentation doesn't have as many laughs, but I do have a video to show you at the end. So hopefully you can pay attention for the full thing. So as I was introduced, I am the Outreach and Engagement Coordinator with the Anoka SWCD, and I also facilitate the Anoka County Water Resource Outreach Collaborative, which is a partnership of cities and water management entities in Anoka County. We provide efficient, effective, coordinated outreach and engagement about the water resources in our area. So today I was asked to share a little bit about one of the projects of ROC, W-R-O-C, which is the video Our Groundwater Connection. But before I show the video itself, I'll just share a little bit about the motivation behind the video and how it came to be. So just so everyone is oriented, this is a map of the metro area, and Anoka County is at the north there with the star. In Anoka County, there are 94% of people who rely on groundwater for all of their water needs. That's higher than the state as a whole, which is approximately 75% of people rely on groundwater for their drinking water. In Anoka County, it's higher, 94%. So despite all of the work of our environmental services office and cities and water management entities, most residents still did not properly understand where their drinking water was coming from. So this was, of course, leading to many misconceptions or false perceptions of that water, which was the catalyst for why we felt like we needed to create a video for the public to talk about groundwater and where their drinking water comes from. So I do have to mention, too, that this project would not have been possible without this partnership, the Water Resource Outreach Collaborative Partnership, because we all decided to pool our resources so that we could create a long-lasting video project with minimal financial burden on any one organization. So each individual partner of the ROC Collaborative would not have had the resources on their own to produce this video. So I'm very thankful that I think we have 17 cities and 4 water management entities who all got together to make this video possible. So as the facilitator, I had my calling orders. Now, I had to figure out a way to educate the public about groundwater so they cared enough to want to protect it for future generations, which is, of course, easier said than done, which is why we're all here in this room. So the part about educating about groundwater that's difficult is that, as we know, it's not a visible resource, like a prairie or an old growth forest or a lake that you just want to jump into. Groundwater, as we know, is invisible to the public, and it's difficult to form a connection with it. So often when you talk about valuing the groundwater, you get many kind of quizzical looks, and people don't really understand what you're asking them to do. So we really wanted to give people a visual so that they could understand where their drinking water was coming from. And without understanding how people rely on groundwater, it's very difficult to form a connection with it so that they want to protect it for future generations. And also groundwater is kind of, people in this room are kind of the technical audience. We maybe have more of an understanding of groundwater than the typical citizen or person, but it's kind of less intuitively valuable to the average citizen, because it's not really talked about as often as a lake or a river or the old growth forest. So we needed to create an educational tool that could handle all of this stress. So popping up on the screen now is kind of a concept cloud of the various different topics that we wanted the video to cover, as well as what the video needed to be in order to be successful. And ultimately, the goal of the video was to motivate people to change their behavior to ensure safe and plentiful groundwater sources for future generations. But as you can see, there was a lot to cover before we could get there. So with all these goals in mind that we needed to build a groundwater literate community, we needed to find a perfect vehicle to deliver that message. And for us, that's how we landed on animated video. So the benefits of animation are quite numerous, but in the interest of time, I heard I had as much time as I wanted, but I don't want to talk forever. So in the interest of time, I will just run through a few of the benefits of animation that we felt were most important to our group. So first, you'll see when you watch the video that animation allows you to create a stylized model of a whole system and how a system interacts that's simple enough for the average person to understand and includes some metaphors and similes as well so that people understand how groundwater works in relation to something that they already understand. Secondly, it's very efficient to communicate complex information rather than using narration alone or even words alone in a report. Having a visual is really easier for people to grasp the concept more quickly. And in addition, the highly visual nature of animation allows it to be enjoyed by a diverse range of audiences. So I'm talking youth to elected officials to the average citizen or someone who's deaf or someone who doesn't speak English as their first language. Having animation and visual storytelling is really important for those audiences. And this was especially important to the members of the Water Resource Outreach Collaborative because Anoka County is a rapidly growing and diversifying county, so we wanted to be sure that we could get our message to as many people as possible. And on that note, the video is currently in English, but we're looking at getting it translated into Spanish, Hmong, Somali, Arabic, and Vietnamese as well. So the final two benefits of animation that I'd like to point out is it's long-lasting, it's fairly timeless if you do it right, and it's also very shareable. With the internet, it's really critical to create outreach resources that can be accessed in a wide variety of ways, on a wide variety of websites, and provide educational value for a long time. With that, I'll leave you on a final note. So the video is accessible to anyone on YouTube. You can search Our Groundwater Connection, and it should be the first thing to come up. You're all welcome to use it, show it in your own work. If you would like the actual video file, I can give it to you. My email contact information is there. We did create the video with the intent for it to be shared, so please let me know if you would like the actual video file. And you're welcome to cut it up, cut pieces out, or put in new pieces. And if you're interested in hiring the producer animator that we hired as well, I can get you her contact information. So currently the video has a specific portion on Anoka County, but there are other counties like Washington County, I believe, is creating a Washington County specific video. So if you're interested in that, please let me know. And now I think if I escape this, I can show the video.
We rely on water every day to water lawns, drink, bathe, and cook. But have you ever wondered where that water comes from? Deep underground, water exists in tiny spaces between soil particles. Wells pump water out of the ground, making groundwater available for our use. Wells work a lot like a straw in a glass of ice water. A straw pulls water out from the spaces between ice cubes, just like a well pulls water out from the spaces between soil and rocks. Private well owners aren't the only ones who depend on groundwater. Many cities distribute water to their residents from deep city wells that suck water from around 1,000 feet below ground. But groundwater isn't just valuable when we pump it out of a well. It connects directly to many of our lakes and rivers, keeping lakes full and rivers flowing during dry spells. Groundwater refills by gradually soaking into the ground when it rains. The journey water takes through layers of soil and rock is like a filter that removes most impurities. This makes the water drinkable without expensive treatment. However, as we change our landscape, we make important groundwater resources vulnerable to overuse and pollution. To protect our water, it's important to understand how our actions impact both groundwater quantity and quality. Things like buildings and roads block water from soaking into the ground. When our landscape is dominated by these kinds of surfaces, they interrupt the natural refilling process that keeps groundwater plentiful. When you pair this with our agricultural, industrial, and domestic water needs, we can have a significant negative impact on our supply of groundwater. Groundwater works a lot like a bank account. We spend water every day on things like laundry, bathing, and irrigation. Cutting back on wasteful water spending is one of the best ways to maintain a healthy groundwater account. But we still need to make deposits to keep our groundwater account from going to zero. Nature makes a deposit into groundwater when rain is able to soak into the ground. The size and speed of these water deposits is determined by the local land cover, geology, and precipitation. For groundwater to be sustainable, our deposits need to exceed our spending. We can ensure a healthy supply of water for future generations by cutting back on wasteful irrigation and maximizing our groundwater paycheck with tools like rain gardens and protected natural spaces that help water soak into the ground. There are also a lot of things we can do to protect our groundwater quality. Everyone has a role to play in making sure we stop harmful contaminants from getting into the groundwater we all depend on. Groundwater pollution travels in cloud-like formations, often in unpredictable directions and speeds. Since many common groundwater contaminants don't have a taste or odor, you can't be sure your well water is safe without testing. Individual well owners are responsible for making sure their water is safe to drink. Deep municipal wells are often less vulnerable to contamination because pollution needs to travel through multiple layers of sand, rock, and clay to reach the well. Nonetheless, cities are required to regularly test their wells and ensure that the water is safe to drink. By reducing the amount of contaminants we allow to enter the environment and safely disposing of our waste, we can create a cleaner, healthier future for our groundwater. Here in Anoka County, 94% of residents depend on groundwater as their only water source. Our county has high-quality groundwater that came from glacial meltwater, taking thousands of years to fill our deepest groundwater supplies. However, our large population, high water table, and sandy soils make our groundwater especially vulnerable to overuse and pollution. Understanding groundwater can be overwhelming and complex, but by doing our part to keep groundwater clean and plentiful, we can protect our drinking water for generations to come.
So thank you very much, Emily. I'd like to open up for questions. Actually, I'd like to start by asking one myself. How long did development of that video take from start to finish, and what were the sort of the most difficult parts of producing it?
So we learned a lot in producing this video. First of all, we used a local animator. So she lives in the metro area here, so it was really easy to contact her, and we met up several times to make sure that the video was progressing as we hoped. From start to finish, it was fairly quick. I believe idea to actual produced video was 5 months, which is pretty quick. We kind of knew what we wanted, though, so that did make the process easier. The most difficult part was I think getting everyone on the same page. There is a lot to talk about with groundwater, of course. So this first video, and I guess now I'm leading into, we will eventually be producing future videos. This video we intended to be the primer, the first one that people see. So in the future, we plan to do more specifically on different types of pollutants, industrial pollutants and non-point source pollutants, so kind of giving a more in-depth look at those different types of sources of pollution, and then hopefully more down the road as well. So I think paring people down and getting people into the same page with the video was the most difficult part.
Yes, I'm wondering if you've done any audience testing, like pre and post, to measure knowledge gained or attitude change?
That is a fantastic question and something we're working on. We have a pre and post survey, and we want to do kind of pilot tests with school groups especially, as well as like city council groups or board members. So we wanted to have more focused kind of pilot groups like that. That hasn't happened yet. It's on my to-do list.
So first of all, we love this video. We've posted it a few times on social media, and I guess I wanted to learn a little bit more. How are you pushing the video out, and how are you getting this into the general public's computer?
Yes. So right now it's on YouTube. It's also on several different websites. So it's on the ACD, Anoka Conservation District website. It's on the Bowser website, MPCA website, several of the watershed districts in our areas, their websites, and the cities in our website, in our area as well. As for pushing it out like really hard, primarily it's been contacting our partners and asking them to share it. I haven't developed an actual specific plan for how we plan to put it into schools. Is a really big group we're hoping to reach, so getting principals on board potentially and adding it into some of their classes would be really beneficial for us. That's kind of, you're asking at the perfect time. This is what I'm working on for the next month or two, or to get it into schools. So thank you. It's very new, the video.
Hi, Emily. I just wondered if you could give a sense of what kind of cost was involved in creating this video.
Yeah, great question. So the animator we worked with, she had done a previous video with us, so we knew that she was reliable and easy to work with. Her fee was hourly, and it was, in our perception, fairly low for what we were getting. So we did offer her more than what she was requesting from us. Still, even with that, we only paid just under $4,000 for this video. I expected that. Since then, since we worked with her and we really value her, we asked her to raise her prices for other folks. So it will be just... we also don't want to overwork her. So her name is Jill Zimmerman, if you ever run across her. So $4,000 was the cost of this video. I should add, that doesn't include my time. So any time that I put into this video, that doesn't include that. That was funded through a different separate source.
Could you tell us a little bit about the process of working with the animator? Because I assume she's not a groundwater scientist, so you maybe had to educate her first. And then I assume there's a lot of back and forth getting things right.
Yes, there is a lot of back and forth, and I think that's just the nature of creating a video. The first step for us was to create a script, and then she recorded that script just to have it in a file so that we could share it with our partners. Of course, after the script was created and narrated, there were many changes, little words to change and little phrases to change to make sure it fit with everybody's expectations. So honestly, that kind of was the most fiddly part of it, making sure the script said exactly what we wanted it to say. And our animator, Jill, she has the script set so that once it's complete, then that's the length of the video. And then she fits the animations within the length of the video. So we also created some storyboard images for her. That was, if you saw at the end of the video, there was a link, or the names Jaron Cook and Tillery Bailey. They were Minnesota Green Corps members, and they were the primary people who created that storyboard imagery for Jill to use and create the animations from. She's really easy to work with, so once we gave her the script and those images, she pulled this out really quickly.